The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 189. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, yo.
Live from Circa. Fezzik Friday's coming up. Chris Felica coming up. A lot of other stuff coming up as well. We get tweet speed of the book before we get to Felica here. Xavier82, speaking of the Toronto Blue Jays to make the playoffs from earlier. Caesars has a market up to be the sixth seed with Toronto at 2-1. Oh, that's great. Femi mentioned it last night. He recommended St. Louis at 30-1 in the NL. I don't know about St. Louis, but I sure do like his take on the Blue Jays there. More bang for your buck, right? Because that's the only spot they are likely to make the playoffs in is the number six position. So an extra 25 cents worth that? I don't know. Probably. I like it just as much, if not better, than the plus 170. Oh, it's 30 cents better to make the playoffs. I like what Femi's thinking right there. Shrek McPhee, not to harp on one backyard brawl, but wasn't that the Pat McAfee game? Two missed kicks? I'd say he bounced back pretty good, LOL. He did, but wasn't it like early in the game? So it was kind of like a footnote, but he did miss two field goals. For sure he did. But you're right. He's doing okay. Whatever became of that Pat McAfee?
Yeah, I never heard of him again.
Jason Stark, I have the O's to make the playoffs at plus 370. They pretty much sealed their fate when they lost two to the Rockies. Yeah, they did. We'll be the third team right now if they won those games. I don't know if they sealed their fate, but I understand the point. The fact that they're still 1.5 out of this, so many people thought they were going to be great. Jason McKinney with a tweet that's all over the place. He said, if Kelly would have watched the Little League World Series, he could comment on baseball growing globally. Curacao kids grow up playing baseball with broomsticks and bottle caps. Curacao is the most MLB players per capita. Other countries have pigs and coconuts. So couldn't they make their own football equipment? Things that make you go, I'm sure this is what Roger's thinking. Plus, he doesn't care about Valentine's Day. Yes, I'm salty with a Super Bowl date this year. I'm a restaurant guy. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Oh, and listen to this. Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars has chimed in. I am drunk with power. Listen to this. He said, I have caved to the numbers game pressure. It's back up. Yordan Alvarez to win the Triple Crown. The yes is 4-1. The no is minus 550. Thank you, Eric. That's very good. That's very good of you. Thank you so much.
I feel like the pricing is not coincidental either. You heard us talking about how we kind of liked the plus 320. It was like, well, if I throw a 4-1 out there, I bet you I can get those suckers to buy in. Yeah.
Again, leads in batting average, pretty good cushion, tied in home runs with Caminero, tied in RBIs with Alonso. Come on, man. Let's go, Yordan. Michael Lafon. Gil, since you brought up the Triple Crown, it's a little-known fact, but in 2018, Christian Yelich came up with the bases loaded on his last at-bat in the last game of the year, and if he would have homered, he would have won the Triple Crown. 336, 36, and 110 had that happened. Thank you, Michael. That's a great call. That's a great stat right there. I do not remember that detail, but Yelich was so good that season.
I will never forget interviewing him when he was in single A, Gil, and the entire time I was talking to him, I'm just thinking, this little skinny kid is never doing anything. Like, he's never going anywhere.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good career.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Bear, El Oso. Fox Sports' Chris Felica joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Christopher, good morning, sir.
Good morning, and yes, that 2007 college football backyard brawl game. I remember Pat was telling some stories about the number of death threats and everything that he got for missing a kick that really, the problem was is that the offense was just out of sync all night. But yeah, that remains to this day the most shocking result I have seen in college football in all my years covering it. Virginia team that was unstoppable on offense. Pitt was a Wanstead hobbling around on the sideline with the crutch. Yeah, Slayton and White, that offense was ridiculous. And
so I don't know if you heard
keep close playing for the net.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show, but inspired by UMass's big upset win over Rutgers last night, I went through some of the great historical upsets in college football history. So that's interesting from you specifically. This is, you said it's the most shocking upset because
yes, last night may have been a bigger upset, but in terms of the stakes of that game with how dominant West Virginia had been all year, with how lackluster Pitt has been, like just shocking that West Virginia would lose that game and Pitt would pull the upset with a berth in the BCS championship game on the line.
You win on the stakes argument. I'm curious, was it maybe that's the that's a differentiator. Because was it more shocking than when Tavita Pritchard and Stanford beat USC? USC had the 35-game home winning streak, and the Appalachian State win over Michigan to start that season.
Yeah, Appalachian State, that Michigan team had been coming off of, they lost a lot of players from the previous year, and I think it was just all the whole FCS deal, but that was a really good team, and people always talk, it's just the whole, it's Michigan, and it's Appalachian State, so I think people kind of put that in their head as well, so.
Yeah,
but that national title on the line for West, I was just stunned to see the way that game went with the stakes that were
it's one of those games too. It felt like every human being was watching it at the time. Like it was just so set up for West Virginia. Man, did they lay an egg for sure? All right, well, let's start with college football. Your bread and butter. Let's start with your alma mater tonight in Palo Alto, Miami, 24.5 point favorites against Stanford.
Yeah, I hate that I'm laying so many points in a lot of these games, but I just have a hard time. Seeing Stanford compete tonight, offensive line injuries all over the place. I don't know how they're going to be able to block Miami's front. I don't know if they really have any differentiators at the skill position to be able to get open against one of the best secondaries, if not the best secondary in the country. And it's not going to be a situation like where Miami's going to kind of take their foot off the gas. Like they've got guys, second and third string, who are looking for playing time. They're looking to kind of establish themselves. We saw last year was like 35-0 second half. Like this, I don't think it'll be a slow start. I think Miami comes out and takes care of business tonight.
All right. The man's going to lay a couple of these 24s and 24.5s here to start off. The Ducks, the Oregon Ducks with their debut tomorrow. Early game, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 12:30 p.m. Pacific, right? Yes. 12:30 p.m. Pacific. Not an early game. Not a super early start. But Oregon over Boise State, 24.5 point spread here.
I think this is another situation where the Boise offensive line, I think, is kind of a weaker unit for them. Questions about how good their quarterback actually is. Oregon, this is put up or shut up time. You look at the defensive line that Oregon has, arguably the best in the country. Wide receivers with that Stewart coming back, great 1-2 punch at running back. Nothing more quarterback. A couple years ago, remember, Boise did go there and compete for a while. But I think this is a much better Oregon team and a Boise team that is not as good. So I think Oregon will come out at home and put a big number up.
Cal, UCLA, ACC, Big Ten. Cal is a 2-point dog. What do you got here?
Well, my unscientific research theories of teams that open as the favorite and then go close as an underdog, I like that. Whether it has any bearing whatsoever and actually proves to be true, I have no idea. But I think Cal's roster is better. I think there's a little bit of a hesitancy because everybody's so high on Bob Chesney and UCLA, and they should be. But I think at this point, Cal's roster is better. And I will take Cal. Golden Bears getting the two. I know this number's kind of fluctuated in a bunch of places, 1.5, twos, but getting a couple points here at home, and I think Cal does win outright.
Okay, let's get back to the larger double-digit favorites here. Let's start with FIU taking on. Oh no, this is you're going with a dog here. FIU as a 14.5 point dog versus South Florida. Excuse me.
Yeah, we stuck this one in there as kind of an ugly dog of the week. First game, obviously, for Brian Hartline at USF, completely new team, as a majority of these teams are. Kind of a sneaky opener, I think, though, for USF and the Bulls here. Willie Simmons, I think, is creating a really good culture at FIU. They got transferred back from Georgia Tech, who's pretty good. Their secondary is deep in experience. I'm not sure this is a straightforward, easy win for South Florida, like so many people might think. I like FIU here getting 14.5. Wouldn't surprise me to see Golden Panthers hang around here.
Okay, now back to the big favorites. Texas taking on the Pac-12's Texas State Bobcats as a 29.5 point favorite.
Pac-12's Texas State Bobcats.
That's right.
What did you just say there? Like, does that represent like everything that's wrong with college football right now? Kidding aside, though, if you wanted to just lay a first half number with Texas, I could get to there as well. I think the common school of thought is that Texas is just going to get up big and just bench starters. They're going to look ahead to Ohio State next week. I'm not sure that matters, though. Like, Texas is second string, third string. Again, just like Miami, they're looking for playing time. They're looking to produce. I think with all the questions that have come out lately about Arch and has he struggled and is Texas's year, I think all of that kind of leads to Texas and Sark and that offense coming out, putting up a big number. Remember, Will Muschamp, his first game back there as defensive coordinator there for Texas. I think they come out. And like I said, I can get behind a first-half bet only, but I do think Texas wins big. I think it's too easy to say that they just kind of coast and then turn their eyes to Ohio State the following week.
All right, a five-pack of plays from Chris. Now, remind us, Chris, we'll throw out week zero. We'll still call it pre-flop. Your pre-flop top five would be what?
Ohio State, Notre Dame. Do you want to have Ohio State, Notre Dame, or Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame? I think we're 1, 2, 3. I believe I had Texas 4. And who the hell did I have 5? I forget.
All right.
Miami 5. Might have been Miami 5.
Okay.
Florida yeah. State.
I wrote that. So.
Tufts.
Florida State, 5th in the ACC. 5th in the Sioux.
The Tufts, Florida State, were they in there at all? No, nothing.
Yeah, just on the outside.
Tufts, I have to wait and see how they do against Amherst coming up next weekend.
It's a big one in the NESCAC. More with Chris. He's got NFL season long, and he's got some tennis, the U.S. Open. Oh, boy. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, alongside the great Kelley Bydelon. Yo. You can follow him on Twitter at Kelley Bydelon. KelleyByDelon.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can follow Gil on Twitter at Beating the Book.
Yeah, that was cute.
Again.
We have a TV on here in the studio, and occasionally we're distracted like squirrels. And ESPN just had on, they had a couple images where I glanced over there. One is random, has nothing to do with anything. I guess they're teasing something and they're going to talk about the Cowboys surprise in the next segment.
No!
There you go. but the shot that they showed was the typical NFL draft war room, quote unquote, shot of Jerry Jones and all of the Cowboys front office. Glad hand, just congratulating themselves over whatever pick they just made.
The best part of the NFL draft.
As if they won the Siege of Yorktown or something, right?
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then, but then the other one, we'll bring in Chris Velika for this, is the other one was they're talking about the whole LSU-SEC deal. Cool. So it's been cleared. These players who have put on pro uniforms can now come back, according to the judge, right? And come back and play. And now, as you pointed out, Kelly, off air, this comes down to LSU. Are they going to fly in the face of the SEC and actually put these guys on the field? Chris, what's your hunch?
I don't know how you can play them. We know this is going to go to another court and they're going to get ruled ineligible and the SEC is going to win. Like, I try not to dive too much into this because it's all Greek to me.
Yeah.
Tom Mars, who is like one of the more prominent attorneys out there who does a lot of this, he seems this is ultimately going to end with the SEC winning and these players being ineligible to play. So I just don't know how you play them potentially. And then you have to forfeit a game. You get a win vacated. Is it a loss? What's the upside? That's what I don't get. The one thing I would say is, does this maybe an indication that Lane doesn't like his roster
as much as
we thought maybe he would or should? Yeah. Does he really think maybe they need these players to be the type of team that he hopes? Or is it just, okay, I had these guys at Ole Miss. I want to do them a solid and get them back here. So as much of a renegade and a villain, and good for college football, by the way, that he's a personality, as good as he is and a lightning rod, even Lane, I think is going to take a step back here and just I can't do it.
It's a great point about the roster. You are a Lane guy. We should establish that. You're a pro Lane Kiffin guy.
Yes.
But the fact that you would say even he would not, that will be interesting to see if even he wouldn't. In the end, last thing before we get off college football, because I'm burying the headline, you are, as you are during the college football season, you come to us from a hotel somewhere. Where's Big Noon
yes.
tomorrow?
We're in Bloomington, Indiana. Home of, it kills me to say that, home of the national champion, Indiana Hoosiers. Congratulations, Wes Reynolds. But yeah, the lovely lovely graduate hotel here in Bloomington. Very, very nice decor. They got the Cutters banner hanging there, Breaking Away, one of the great all-time sports and culture movies.
Yes.
Yeah, but you a Breaking Away guy?
I remember watching that in the theater as a kid. It was the biking movie, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cutters. We got that there. But yeah, no, we'll be here tomorrow. Not the greatest slate of games, as evidenced by a lot of those big numbers that I'm giving out. But Indiana's season opener, and away we go.
I'm glad you've gotten over the national championship game and your Hurricanes against the Hoosiers. At least
we well, got that we going we on. Have an agreement in my. Has a bunch of luminaries in it that we are allowed. September 4th, today is the last day that we are allowed to bring that game up and discuss it. Once toe meets leather tonight in Palo Alto in front of 9,000 people. Are you going to go to the game, Gil?
I'm thinking about E40 halftime entertainment. Thinking about it.
Yeah.
You got it. Go.
I don't know
Come
if I can. Do you want to know the truth? I don't know if I can convince Deborah Song Fashion Stylist. I don't think I can. So, might not happen.
Tell her to do it for me. Tell her to go. She can root for my alma mater and have fun.
If I do that, she'll be like, okay, for Chris, sure. She'll do it. She really will. All right. To the National Football League, a late Chris Felica season long prop. What do you got?
Remember last year at this time, we're just sitting around talking about if Matthew Stafford. Going to be able to play? Is he going to be able to walk? Who knows? He takes one hit, his career could be over. I got it. They went out and had an MVP season, had a great year, stayed healthy. And now we're just assuming that that's going to happen again, and this is going to go mainly. Like, I don't know.
Chris,
guy's old. He's been through a lot. Like, I played under 38.99 in terms of passing yards for Stafford. More things can go wrong than can go right. Adams is a year older. He certainly looks like he's lost a step. Puka, who knows what's going to happen with him if he's going to face a suspension. He certainly hasn't been healthy as well. Rams in general might be a team worth fading. Like there, I know DK has these props out there, and I used one of those fast future boosts yesterday when I had multiple hours to kill. In the Delta Sky Club because I'm year week one, hour and a half delay already. So we're off to a flying start. So I bet more money and fired those apps up. But you can bet first 5 weeks how many wins will a certain team have. You can bet whatever team. I bet one win for the Rams at 14-1.
Wow.
They have the Giants and they'll beat the Giants, but they've got the Bills in there. They got the Niners. I think they got the Lions. They got the Eagles, I think. They got a pretty tough schedule. Right out of the gate. So 14-1 when it boosted, I think, to 21-1 or whatever the hell it was. I thought that might have been worth a shot. But fading the Rams might not be a bad thing to do.
Repeat that bet again for those who might have missed it, like myself.
It's a fast future on DraftKings. Any team, you can bet how many wins will a team have through five games. You can bet 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. 5, whatever you want, or 0. And I bet 14-1. That they would have exactly one win in 5 weeks.
Oh my!
You know they're going to beat the Giants. If they lose to the Rams, they'll beat the Giants. Then maybe you can play around a little bit after that because you got a couple of road games, and then maybe Monday night. And could you imagine if they're sitting 1-3 hosting the Bills on Monday night? It'd be a pretty nice position.
Man, by the way, did you catch? I was about to Felica was getting pounded in the corner. I was about to step in like Richard Steele or Mills Lane and stop the fight. And then as soon as I was about to step in,
he threw an
uppercut and he was right back in it.
Mm-hmm. Right
nice,
back
nice
in the
save
mix.
Right there. All right, let's go to the U.S. Open. Third round matches begin today. You have added a future.
I thought when you were saying you turned on the TV and you saw, I thought you were commenting maybe on Sabalenka, Kostyuk, and Saranos Urstea. being on the court right now with the early 11 a.m. The Kostyuk up an early break, 3-love right out of the gate. I think we're steamrolling towards an Alcaraz-Fritz final. Fritz has been fantastic in the tournament so far. You're getting still a good price on this. I'm not sure if he's still 11-1. The price may have come down. You would have gotten a much worse price had Sasha Zverev lost. Fritz definitely would have been the second choice of that. So you can still get a decent price on Fritz. He was dominant yesterday. This is his best major. I think he's super alive to win and kind of break that American drought in slams. If you could find an Alcaraz-Fritz head-to-head, maybe, like name the finalists, that might be a way to go as well.
Taylor Fritz, the American, not the American number one anymore. I think Ben Shelton is. I never know the rankings exactly, but I think Ben Shelton overcame him as American number one. But Fritz to win the U.S. Open 11-1. Do you think, though, if they met in the finals, like if Carlos is playing well enough to have gotten all the way to the finals, isn't he in just supreme form at that point, though, do you think?
He might be.
Yeah.
He might be. But again, there's no guarantee that he even. I mean, I'm just trying to throw a bet out there. But I mean, he lost a set the other night against Freya. Like he's got Yibi Wu today, who is someone who is a pretty good tennis tactician and can throw a lot back at him. He's still working his way into the tournament. He's a massive favorite today. So we'll ultimately see. By the way, can I just take go on the soapbox,
please,
and go sports radio? The state of men's tennis today, how soft are some of these guys?
This was Drew's
FAA
thing. Yeah.
Fies, Musetti yesterday, like
Hodar,
even Shelton.
Hodar
is
yeah.
Sinner is soft. Hodar, I mean, what was that? Straight sets, what, 2-1
no idea.
Second and third set. Like, well, give me some talk. Djokovic out. Give me Djokovic out there gutting it out after vomiting five. Like this new school of player, they need to.
I'm with
you,
man.
A little intestinal fortitude, as Gorilla Monsoon would say.
I love it. A little generational knockdown is what that was from Chris. And I agree completely.
Get off my lawn.
And if you watch, I'll say it again. If you watch that Rafa Nadal docuseries, just called Rafa, on Netflix.
Right.
We knew how tough he was. This dude played his entire career winning 22 Grand Slams, thinking it might be the last time on the court every single time because his injuries were so bad. His foot condition was so bad. And Jannik Sinner.
Yeah, my foot could literally implode at any moment.
And Jannik Sinner casually is like, my knee kind of hurts. I know the doctors cleared me, but this is the USO. I can't play this.
Yeah.
True. Nice soapbox, Chris. Well done.
Thank you.
The 45 to 75 demographic is back with us. Thank
Best
you, Chris.
Of luck on week one, Chris.
That's right. Best of luck. 5-pack of college
Thanks,
football
sir.
Plays. Coming back on a numbers game. Country Club.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code on your screen for more at sharpplays.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets, beating the book, Larry Fresh. Oh, he's playing on the no guy. He's a Daryl Strawberry is doing coke. We make jokes about him. Michael Irving is doing coke. We make jokes about him. Nick Kyrgios is doing coke. We obviously make jokes about him.
No.
Actually, I got to let you do it every time. Shooter McGalen, I was too young for Pitt over West Virginia. The ones I remember, college football upsets. I think Baker Mayfield lost to Iowa State, laying 31.5. I think you're right about that. And I remember a top five Wisconsin team, he says, losing to Illinois. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties. Says pre-flop Colorado moneyline plus 220 yesterday. There's 40 seconds left in the game. Georgia Tech getting the ball back down 14-13. I said screw it. Took all my potential profits minus $20 and put it on Georgia Tech plus 440. My net position on Novig at this point was Georgia Tech minus 534.2%. $0 to win $900. Wow, that was crazy at the end there.
Great work.
Bottom partners.
I don't know. A little
too much to
convey. I
don't
know where we're going for. Yeah. Hey, great job. Great arbitraging.
Steve Cohen at the Steve Cohen 21. Mets owner, VSiN program director.
Who knows?
I don't know. Says, coming into town to put in my Circus Survivor entries. Do I get one additional entry or go to Ito for dinner? Oh, great call.
Oh, man.
What do? You get one extra Survivor entry to go to Ito for dinner. I would say go to Ito for dinner.
I didn't want to answer this question. Go to Ito for dinner.
Yep. Telling you.
But see, make sure they set you up in the poodle room afterward, too. Enjoy the poodle room.
Yeah, enjoy the poodle room.
That is, do you know that's a membership club? Do you remember how packed it was when we were in there?
Not very.
Thursday night at Fountain Blue.
Not very.
Fountain Blue Friday and Saturdays do very well. Pretty sure the other 5 days of the week, it's a bit of a struggle.
Mark Gupta, this is more of a question for you than for me. He says, hey, Gil, for your country club and segment, any early leans on the President's Cup at Medina, where I'm a member? You unusually hot and humid early September here. USA heavy favorite. Maybe wait for matchups. What would you say, sir?
That's a great question. The problem is how the question started, early leans. The early bet was to take USA like 3 weeks ago. That number is just getting steeper. I think it's like minus 400 the last time I checked it, but that was even probably 4 or 5 days ago at this point. It would be USA or nothing. I think you're just waiting for matches. I'll speak for myself. I'm just waiting for matches at this point.
And finally, bet your boots off. Apropos the Jardians interview, A&G should have a blind taste test with the bottled waters. I'm taking the under on all contestants. I don't get the under thing. If we're doing a blind taste test.
Except that is now the third tweet I remember getting about a blind taste test. Because
people don't believe I can discern the difference. Oh, I can if it's Fiji or Arrowhead to the bag.
You know what? Here's where I'll keep it real, Gil. I like to sit up here and make grand statements on what I believe about these bottled waters. Do I really believe I'd be able to identify each one in a blind taste test? I don't know. Probably not.
And I'm glad you brought up the Jardians interview because we couldn't remember her name earlier. Diana Colon was the original Jardians.
Awesome.
And our director, Larry Meir, reminds us. He was like, do you guys remember how depressing that interview got? And I was like, no, kind of. And he says, she wrote the song and didn't get any payment for it. And then Jardians has gone on to have like 75 billion commercials after her.
Because she was like a do everything.
Yeah.
To be famous person, right? She was a singer, actress, commercial actress. She had like a cooking show, I remember
She had a great attitude about it.
Awesome attitude.
But now you're trying to get the no guy. What are you setting the odds at for us getting him on the show?
What did I just tell you? I emailed him about 30 minutes ago. I'm going to say 2-1 he's booked by the end of the show. Give me plus 200.
Okay.
Maybe a little longer. It's a Friday, Labor Day Friday. You know what? I'm going to reset those odds. Plus 350. Friday on Labor Day weekend, he might not be. If I'm going to say minus 200 by the time we're here on Monday, I have him booked for next week.
It's going to be as hard hitting as my Jay Cohen interview, I promise. I promise you.
No!
ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Are We Sure? Let's go.
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
Estamos seguros? All right. So where Kelly has things on his mind. He's asked me, are we sure?
I just love the music at the end.
Was that a little dance?
It's like the Dan dance. Danny dance.
When you dance, do you...
No, I don't at all, but this is like the Danny dance.
Oh,
remember
Danny Higgins.
Danny Higgins at the bar.
Danny's still talking about you.
Oh, man, I am, man. Oh, and I got the call the other day. 2 days ago, I got the call.
From?
The Ben Wilson.
Oh.
For Kelly Bidlin's great realtor services. Remember, his house.
Ben needs a client.
That I've set up two VEASAN people to live in.
So he needs a new tenant. You're his guy.
He needs a new tenant.
Did he kick you back anything for it?
No, absolutely not. We even went out to dinner one time. He didn't buy dinner or anything.
Ben Wilson, who famously just walked in while Danny was a tenant because he's Ben Wilson. And Danny, a former police officer, might have had a gun that could have gotten ugly.
That could have gotten really ugly. Yeah. It actually scared me. When Danny first told me that story, that scared me.
You know, Ben's like, whoa, I'm so, what do you mean?
Nice kid.
Yeah.
Wisconsin family. Everybody's so nice.
I love you, Ben.
We love Ben. It was great catching up with him. Okay, Gil, are we sure?
Yes.
We will see former professional football players play college this season.
I just asked this of Chris Felica. I genuinely do not know. I am not sure. No. I'm not sure we will.
I cannot wait to see how this plays out over the next... When does LSU play? Is that tomorrow or is it Sunday?
Oh, that's right.
I guess screwed up because of Labor Day weekend.
It's the last college football only weekend.
So the one... one of these guys, like Daquan Wright said after the hearing yesterday, like he's ready to go. Been working out with the team. He plans on playing. So we'll see what LSU and Lane Kiffin end up doing. I'm with Chris.
What about Dejon Love? Is he ready to go? Is that the Niners guy?
Yeah, I think he's ready to go too. Yeah, I don't think anybody's playing him though.
LSU game, by the way, is on. Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are we sure CJ Carr should be the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy?
I'm not sure about that. That he should be the favorite. I mean, some might feel that way. But I, you know, he's not that big of a favorite either, right? Like, no. Arch Manning is right behind him. Plus, difference is $7 on. Excuse me. Plus. Yeah, 7-1 on CJ Carr, plus 750 on Arch Manning. Darian Mentz of Miami, 11-1. Dante Moore of Oregon, 11-1. No, I'm not sure he should be the favorite.
My mind is never going to be able to get used to this college football thing with, like, just the Dante Moore example. And the fact that we don't talk about it more, that this guy could have been, like, the second overall draft pick, and he's like, nah, I'm going to go back to Oregon.
Go back to school.
Remember, we were arguing for 2 months.
Well, I mean, if you're
about him or Mendoza going one, like, we didn't know.
But can I, if you're a college football big time quarterback and they're giving you at this point, you're making millions of dollars. Let's be honest. You're making a couple mil, let's say, conservatively. I don't know how much they're making.
Yeah.
But we don't know exactly. But let's say it's a couple mil. And it's still college campus with girls. Why rush it along?
I'm like, this is okay. So, like, I know
injuries. I get it, but still.
No. I actually think you're thinking the more logical way. Yeah. I think Dante Moore probably was as well. I just can't, like, the whole goal of your life, right, was to make it to the NFL, and it's like it's right there.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. All right, are we sure? Miami, the University of Miami, should be -146. To win the ACC in a 17-team conference.
I don't appreciate your tone. You seem very angry about this.
Nobody's got a shot.
It's like you went to FSU or something.
50-1. That got more depressing.
I am sure that they should be -146. I apologize to you, but I am sure. Even if you broke it down by unit, they have the best offense in the ACC. Not only Mensa, of course, but Malachi Toney, the headliners. They got the best defense in the ACC. They lose Bain and Messidor on the defensive line. You know what they do? We'll just replace them with these guys who are top shelf. All of their corners are back. They got the best defense. They got the best offense. They got the best defense. Yes, they should be -146. And there's nobody else in the conference that is like that awesome.
Darnell, leave this graphic up. Are we sure Florida State, after winning a game, should move from 35 to 50-1?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm with you on that one.
Maybe we are.
All right, moving on. NBA now. Are we sure Kawhi Leonard will make the Raptors a real contender in the Eastern Conference?
Would define real.
They can make the Eastern Conference Finals.
If you had said semifinals, I would have said yes. Conference Finals? I mean, they're a contender to make the finals. I don't know that they're a lock to make the finals. Yeah, I guess the broad definition of contender, yes.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. Cop out. Hey, whatever. Good answer.
Yeah. By the way, the point we didn't make about that whole Kawhi thing yesterday is the NBA really fixed Steve Ballmer in the sense that only the player can bring it to arbitration. And so when Kawhi quickly was like, I accept responsibility, sure, the $700,000 shirt, and then nothing else happened to him, it boxed out Steve Ballmer from having arbitration. He would have to go through the court system.
Yeah. Dude, it's incredible. I know I texted you this right away. I was listening to ESPN guys talk about Windhorse and stuff, and it was, or no, I'm sorry, I was listening to Pablo Torre finally. After it came out, Pablo Torre and the guys
taking his victory lap,
and like, no, like, was none of that. Right, they're just reacting to the story, and they said they're the first ones that I've heard say this, and it was do you remember what I texted you right away when it came down? I'm surprised it wasn't worse. Of just what the punishment for the Clippers and Steve Ballmer was. And I know it's historic. I'm surprised it wasn't worse. Surprised it didn't take a team away from the guy.
That was a proper harsh punishment. More Are We Sure's on the other side?
Sure.
All right.
I am sure.
It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Nope. Ungambled, built on a different idea. Matched betting and arbitrage is a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, Start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin and use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp. Look square. Kind of Drew Tabor, CEO of Ungambled, to come on the show while you were gone, Kelly.
How was that?
It was all right.
Oh, cool. Well, go check him out. Ungambled.com.
I don't know. Drew wasn't here for a full review. Otherwise, I would give you the Drew Maxwell review. Let's see here on Twitter. Trotsky, hey, Gil. Are we sure that this whole snafu with LSU isn't being blown out of proportion with the number of athletes and lawsuits around the country? Couldn't the NCAA have made this a lot easier by granting a waiver to those students being left out of the new 5-5 rule? Trotsky, it's a great point. I mean, it's not outlandish because they're allowing this starting next year. So these kids do have a point, mm-hmm. right? It's like, hey, why are we being boxed out of this? I mean, that's the whole genesis of all of this.
Yep.
Maybe they are, Trotsky. Maybe they are.
But what's Trotsky's solution there? Just let him go?
Yeah.
Like, let's just let these play. Kids play?
Yeah. Let them play.
Jared? No, it's. I think we are making too big of a deal about it. This goes back to our NBA conversation yesterday, right? There is definitely a lot of these coaches, conferences, schools that are just upset that it's Lane Kiffin and LSU scooping up these bigger names quickly, right?
Yeah, probably some of that. Jared Still, here's my contribution to the bottled water conversation and entirely how I feel about Dasani. Oh, he said he's me being waterboarded. Gross, is this Dasani? So next Monday, this coming Monday, is the last meh Monday. I mean, no offense to the guests that we have on Monday. I shouldn't say it that way. But what I mean is it's the last pre-football Monday,
yes.
right? And it's Labor Day.
Half of you guys are going to be at home,
half of you guys
cooking
are doing
out,
your stuff on
not
Monday.
Listening, not caring about me or Gil at all.
That's right.
It offends me.
Yeah. See, he's already getting upset.
Yeah.
He's already
going to cry.
The tears are coming. So we were thinking about, I think you had a great point off air, which is we can't line up five waters at the same time and test it.
Yeah.
Because the palate becomes sort of, I don't know, uniform at that point.
But yeah, it's just going to taste like water.
But if we do one head-to-head each hour, that's the proper way to do it.
Okay, that's the plan.
Okay.
That's the plan on Monday.
All right, let's do it.
People, start at 7:15.
The great water test of a numbers game, 2026.
Okay, Chris Foster is fired away. FIBA World Cup. He's going back after getting beat by the hook earlier this morning. Germany plus 7.5 taking on Spain. He's in. Just started.
Chris Foster loves betting. I love that kid.
He really
Here's
does.
The thing. If you missed it earlier, Team USA beats China by 33. The spread was 33.5. How do they know? How do they know?
I love that you started.
How do they know?
Vegas, man. Vegas.
How Whoa. Do they know?
Those guys are good.
But the female Yao Ming, as she's referred to, she knocked down two free throws. China was down 35 with 1.6 seconds left or something like that. She coolly knocks down two free throws to make the final margin 33. And Chris gets locked out of his minus 33.5.
Like the final minutes, I was kind of scrambling back there. I'm getting ready for the show and everything. And they're talking about this as it's, you know, getting down to the wire. The crew is. And Matt Hicks, one of our fine directors here, was talking about how she's just constantly living at the line. And I'm like, once he said that, I'm like, what is, like, USA, like, intentionally fouling her? Like, that seems bizarre when the talent gap is what it is, right? You know, I didn't realize she was a full 7 foot.
7 foot, 3 inches tall. Ziyu Zhang is her name. Ziyu Zhang.
Wow.
Hope I'm pronouncing that okay. Back to Are We Sure? What do you got?
Are We Sure? We got a few more left. Okay, are we sure the Dodgers and Yankees should be the favorite to meet in the World Series?
Okay, this is an interesting question because while I believe it's wide open and while I would not bet on that matchup, right? I would bet, as I mentioned the other day, Red Sox versus Phillies. Yes, I am sure that those two teams should be the actual favorites.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that I think... They're both likely, or either is likely, to get to the World Series because the nature of the format is the Yankees are going to have to play a best of three if they don't overcome the Rays. I think they're down three games right now in the AL East. And the Dodgers are in a dogfight with the Braves for the number two seed right now. They're both three wins behind the Brewers. Remember, it's only the two top seeds that get the bye in the first round. So even the Dodgers might be subjected to a best of three. So it's a different question. Do I think they'll get there? either or both? No, but they yes, but yes, they both still should be the favorites based on them being the best teams.
And that, okay, and I think you just answered it, but I feel like one or two people out there is going to be asking this question. That is just Gil Alexander would have them as the favorite, not the Gil Alexander sports book, right? Because some people are going to be like, well, everybody comes in and bets the Dodgers and Yankees.
Right. But
they're just the true favorites.
But the best of threes complicates that. So I guess mathematically, I don't know. I mean, because the best advantage you can have is missing that best of three.
Right.
And that's a massive advantage.
It is huge.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, they're the best teams per league. Pardon me. Best teams per league. But the best of three complicates things.
All right, JT tweeting in at speed2burn725, and you guys are always welcome to tweet me Are We Sure suggestions. He tweets at me, are we sure that Arch Manning can play quarterback?
Yeah, I think we're pretty sure. He was really good at the end of last year.
Yeah, you struggled a little bit at the beginning, though.
Yeah, he was at the beginning.
I think JT's trying to get at, is this another Bryce Young situation coming our way?
Oh, no,
that's
stop.
Four years that no, I'm still not so. Going to be sure.
No.
Okay. Love the questions. Are we sure, here's a Kelly personal one, are we sure Anthony Richardson never starts in the NFL again? He got named number two on the depth chart for the Colts.
I don't know about never, so I'm not going to say I'm sure it's never, but it's trending more that way than ever. Let's put it that way.
I really hope we get to see him. That Jameis Winston 30-30 season, one of the greatest seasons I've ever watched of football. I feel like Anthony Richardson has that potential.
You love Anthony Richardson.
I do. Are we sure?
I genuinely hope his eye is okay.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
I don't think we've made enough of that.
No, yep, you're right. Are we sure the Cardinals or the Dolphins will have the worst record in the NFL?
I am sure, and you didn't even have to say the Cardinals in that sentence. Yeah. I think the Dolphins, if the Dolphins do not have the worst record in the NFL this year, it's a pretty big upset. They might just be that bad. I would go under on 3.5. I really would.
All right. Andrew Maxwell chiming in. Are we sure the Cronkies will improve the Angels?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, you can insert any name besides Stan Kroenke. Anybody who made that purchase is going to improve on Artie Moreno.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Artie Moreno had Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani for 6 years together. They got nothing to show for it. And you're in the best market in the obviously, arguably, some people aren't LA fans, but you're obviously one of the best, if not the best market in the entire country. I know it's Anaheim. It's not, I know it's Orange County. It's not LA proper, but come on. Absolutely, they will improve on this.
All right. Well, that's the end of Are We Sure? Thanks to our title sponsor. Oh, wait, that's still available. Maybe a water brand.
Sponsored by no one.
Yeah. Open sponsorship opportunity.
Gave
here.
That horrible contract to Rendon. We can go on and on.
Want to hit the club?
Yeah. Let's do it. Hit the club. Speaking of Ben Wilson, his family.
Oh, here's a look ahead at his wedding. Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Oh, when is the Ben Wilson wedding happening?
1 year away.
You know what one of my big regrets from this summer is? Missing Jason Weingarten's wedding.
Yeah, I really wish you would have attended too.
We are really upset about that.
That would have been nice.
I think Jason's a little offended, by the way. But I'll have to make good with it.
Really want to go to Ben's. I don't know if I'm going to make the cut. He kind of warned me. Limited. Big families.
Big families.
And of course, it's a nice location.
Oh, really? Where is it? Oh, no, you can't say?
I don't want to say. But it's a nice location.
Paparazzi might show up.
Sounds like a great one.
Helicopters might show up.
Sounds like one that definitely has an open bar, and I'd have a great time.
Only two tennis bets today. We split on the dogs yesterday, so a very small gain. Bublik on the men's side, +148 versus Tommy Paul. Taylor Townsend, +144 versus Deanna Schneider. Want to talk quarters?
Love it. Let's hit some updated quarter prices. We're a little short on time here. We can clean this up later, though.
All right. Men's side.
Yeah, let's hit first quarter.
Sasha Zverev has played two long five setters into the night, but he's winning that quarter still. There's none of those guys is going to topple him in his quarter. It's pretty smooth at this point.
Okay, and just a heads up, these are currently down as matches have started, but these were what the odds were this morning for the quarter.
Let's put it this way. Anybody who could have beaten him, Hodar, Musetti, Dimonor, Alice, they're all gone. So at -400, it's still his quarter despite the toll on his body. Oh, is that all we got?
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, we got to go to break.
We'll do more after Fezzik, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. We'll check about it in the last segment. Yeah.
Because Steve Fezzik is next. Boy, the timing was great there, huh?
Yeah.
One of our finer moments. Steve Fezzik, the star of Fezzik Fridays. I'll try to be nicer this week. Try. Next. On a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.